Here on the Georgian Impact Podcast, we try to bring you interesting and informative conversations with leading business and technical experts. Often those experts come from businesses large and small all over the world, and sometimes those experts are right from inside our own organization. Today is one of the latter cases. I'm delighted to welcome Jason Brenier back on the show. Jason's our Vice President of Strategy and a recognized expert in conversational AI. He spent the last 6 months traveling all over North America, talking to companies that are adopting conversational AI. And as part of that experience, he's seen that one of the main challenges that virtually every company faces is building an effective conversational AI team. So with that in mind, we'll be talking about the trends Jason's seeing and how companies can go from the theoretical to the practical by building these successful conversational AI teams. I'm John Pryle. Welcome to the Georgian Impact Podcast. Jason Brenier, I hear you've been traveling a lot, having lots of conversation. Is it all about conversational AI?
Absolutely. I have been on the road quite a bit, and I do think it's all about conversation.
How many cities you've been in lately?
A lot, John. Probably about a dozen.
When I think about conversational AI, to me, I kind of naturally default to customer support. But I believe there's so much more out there. What's your sense about this market and the maturity of this market?
Yeah, absolutely. I think customer support continues to be a huge area of opportunity. And there's always going to be simple, repetitive, predictable tasks that kind of lend themselves to automation via a chatbot or conversational interface. But I'm really excited actually to see a lot of other applications, a new set of problems actually that are being solved through these interfaces.
That's cool. My mind, and I think you mentioned, you and I were talking the other day, I was thinking about some of the personal assistance stuff, and I was thinking something along the line of X.AI, but I think you're going beyond that, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, personal assistants and kind of a version of a chatbot or a conversational interface that has a lot more context about you, the user, is, I think there's huge opportunity there, and seeing some really great examples of companies that are building a much more personable, you know, much more sophisticated set of experiences through that channel. So in financial services, for example, there's a lot of personal financial assistance now that go beyond just giving you summarizing your bill or telling you about your balance on your savings account, actually helping you kind of develop a strategy for saving and setting different personal financial goals. It's a much more sophisticated task than I think historically what these bots have done.
So basically, what was this trigger response type thing is evolving. And it sounds like if this financial app is helping me save, it knows a lot about me. It's clearly being more personalized. It's clearly establishing even a relationship with me. Is that one of the key trends here?
I think so. Yeah, it has a much more holistic view of who you are as a customer. It tries to anticipate what your needs might be, proactively make, you know, recommendations, and do that all with the proper context.
And we've heard, obviously, we're not going to go into Alexa and Google Home and all the, you know, hands-free voice stuff, but don't we have to do more now with language as we're beginning to talk to these bots?
Absolutely. And, you know, historically, basically talked about chatbots and a text-based channel for these types of experiences. And now, I think just over the last year, we've seen a huge explosion of skills and actions that are available via the voice channel. That's, of course, language-based as well, but there are things like intonation and prosody and emotion that come through in the voice channel that don't necessarily come through easily on the text channel. So those are important considerations as well as you try to build these experiences there.
Interesting. So we have a next generation, kind of next wave V2 of all of these interactions and bots and automation tools. So as you talk to these companies, obviously you're sitting in a meeting with CEOs and C-suite executives, and it's obviously a very strategic decision. So I think it's important to if you could share with me a little bit what you're hearing are the business drivers. I'll throw out my first question. Is it revenue or retention, for example? So what do you see as the business elements that are out there?
Yeah, I think there's definitely a couple that you can really move the needle on a number of different metrics by using conversation and building conversational experiences. I've seen a lot of examples of companies that just want to grow their user base, right? And really expand their footprint in the market, often they're kind of earlier stage. And so they're focused more on the different channels, the different customer segments that they can, you know, reach by deploying their, you know, bot or their conversational experience on a specific platform. And so that's something that really is tied to, you know, growth and revenue and really capturing a large part of a market. But then I also see some companies typically in later stages that are building much more sophisticated experiences with their users. And the main driver there is engagement and, you know, LTV from a business perspective, creating some stickiness with those customers so they keep coming back and so that the company can continue to offer more value in different ways to individual customers.
Wow. So that's a great setup. And I really hadn't thought about you might be doing something different early stage versus later stage of more mature companies. And it really sets up what we really want to talk about today is to help these companies overcome this. They're going to have to hire and build some teams. And so tell me a little bit about this new white paper that you guys have just published.
Yeah. So one of the things that we observed in all of these conversations that we've had with early stage startups and later stage startups and large corporate entities that are thinking about conversation, it's how do I build the team to deliver the product? I think the conversation is less about, you know, whether a company should deliver services through the conversational channel, but more how are they going to get started? And how are they going to build the internal capabilities to bring the product forward? It's a big challenge because demand is high for conversational AI talent and resources are really, really difficult to find because it's such a kind of new industry. It's a very niche skill set. A lot of folks just don't even know how to assemble that team or what that team might look like, how that team might evolve over time as the product evolves. And so we spent a lot of time doing some research and talking to a lot of different conversational AI teams and decided to write this book as kind of a playbook or a guide for companies that are just getting into this.
That's great. You know, it's interesting. Probably a couple of years ago, our most popular piece of content was around building a data science team. So this does sound like a very natural evolution and companies are looking for it. So I'll share the title. This is called Getting Started with Conversational AI, How to Build a Successful Team. We'll have links to this in our show notes. Now, as I went through the paper, my biggest observation was this team is so cross-functional, maybe more so than usual. And even at a technical level, you've got people reporting to the head of product. You've got people reporting to the data science organization. You've got, of course, engineering people, and even customer success and other elements of the marketing fold. So tell me more about how you can pull this off and kind of manage this cross-functional team.
Yeah, well, the cross-functional piece of this is really important because I kind of think of it as, you know, you're kind of building a team to build a brain. And there's many different aspects to that from, you know, design and determining what the bot is actually going to say to analyzing what the bot or the speech-based interface actually hears back or observes from the user, building intelligence over time within that experience. And so there's just a ton of different roles that are quite different from each other that need to come together. And there's no kind of out-of-the-box model for that at the moment.
I think you're saying yes, but let me be very explicit. Will the hiring matter? Will this team structure matter based on these different types of use cases that you talked about earlier?
I believe, yes, absolutely. We talked about the, you know, those two stages earlier on. And I think in order to build, for example, a conversational experience for a large number of users that gets shared quickly and can reach specific customer segments, that's a very different type of team than if you're building, say, personal financial assistant or a virtual assistant that can do a much more complex task. So in the first case, you are going to be focused on the different channels and platforms and integrations that are needed. And you probably have a, you know, smaller intent inventory that you need to be able to, you know, recognize and different things that your users are going to want to do. You're going to probably simplify that to some extent. In the latter example, you might need a machine learning expert or computational linguist on the team to build out a much richer set of intents. You might need to do some things like sentiment analysis. You might need to do entity tracking across the conversation and things like that. It could be a much different set of skills that need to be represented on the team, and as a result, a different team.
And are we going to cross over and bring more non-technical social scientists, psychology, behavioral folks to these teams? Will that always be the case?
I think that's going to be an increasingly important set of skills that need to be represented on the team. If you think about, you know, building a compelling experience that you want to come back to, you know, what it might take to design a conversation that you want to, you know, repeat or continue, that's more than just kind of back-end engineering. That's, you know, really thinking about who the customer is, who the audience is, you know, why they're engaging with you in the first place, what they want to get out of the conversation, you know, understanding kind of the linguistics of that conversation and the dynamics between the different, you know, conversational participants. I think those are all relatively new skills for software development teams.
And, you know, it's interesting because earlier on we talked about, you know, going, I don't think we specifically use the word transactional, but going away from this request response into these long running, we could call them transactions, but these long running transactions are effectively becoming long running relationships. So now the data science team is collecting different types of data that will absolutely have some influence on these social scientists that own this relationship, so to speak.
That's right. Yeah. I think being able to, you know, first of all, capture all that data, but then make sense of it, mine it, analyze it, and then with those insights, improve the conversation or the next conversation you're going to have with either that same customer or a new customer. Those are all really important skills to have represented in the team.
So I just said, we'll go a little more kind of things that might happen. And we've done a little of this in our prior podcast. I just want to go just a little bit in terms of who's really ultimately responsible for the building of trust, whether it's recovering from a failed conversation or recognizing somebody's angry versus not angry. Is that the kind of the overarching goal, or is still the overarching goal the business result of, you know, getting revenue out of a customer?
I do think it's really important to think about the conversational interface and how it will help your company build a better relationship with your users, a longer term kind of trusted relationship with your users. And again, that's not something that your typical software engineer has a lot of experience doing. There's a lot of, you know, kind of softer skills and involved in that. And, you know, we've discussed this before, you know, once folks, you know, humans get into that conversational mode, they reveal a lot of information that they may not reveal otherwise. And they share a lot more than they would in other channels or other situations. And so we have a responsibility to kind of protect that information, to, you know, understand that they've shared it in the first place, and to really think long and hard and strategically about how we respond to that, how we use that information. I think all of that stuff is even more important in the conversational domain than perhaps in other types of interfaces.
So I'm going to set you up for what we're going to kind of get to, which is kind of this discussion of job descriptions. So, and I'll set you up by saying, there are clearly then other competencies that maybe we haven't thought about in terms of, and I hate to use the word intuition, but it's conversational intuition or thinking about personas or, you know, thinking strategically. So talk to me about competencies and how you turn that into, you know, a key element of this paper.
Yeah, so there are definitely some new skills that are emerging here, or at least a requirement for new skills, at least that are emerging. And so it's actually quite challenging, I think, to find individuals with some of those skills or that have had direct experience, you know, building a bot historically, or, you know, building a speech-based interface historically. Some of that talent does exist. I mean, we have built IVR and call center solutions for probably a couple of decades now. And so there are folks with, you know, a background in conversational design and have an understanding in linguistics and have an understanding of how, you know, conversation works and how to create a compelling conversation with users. But I think more and more we're going to have, just because of the demand for that type of talent, we're going to have to look beyond traditional software companies where some of these people have been working and think about things like, you know, movie script writers and, you know, psychologists, and just look beyond where you normally would look for building a software team.
So the ultimate blending of these hard skills, and I hate to use the word soft skills because it's so important, but I get that. So what's in the back? So if I'm a CEO or VP of engineering, or maybe a head of product trying to build a product and I want to start building my team, it's not easy to find these people. What are you doing to make it easier for me?
Yeah, so we talk about a couple of different places where you can find the talent or acquire the talent. There's, you know, academia. That's a place to consider. We've seen a lot of success in finding researchers in some of these areas, folks that have, you know, investigated kind of different language related issues and have published research that may or may not already have startup experience or experience building product. So That's an area that we recommend, you know, looking to. But then along with that comes the responsibility of kind of educating those team members as to your internal processes so that they can work closely with, and, you know, say the engineering team or the data science team. And so there has to be kind of an awareness around that and what it's going to take to really help them become part of a close-knit functional team. You can also look for talent, like I said, in kind of non-traditional places, script writers, et cetera. But then often we saw a lot of examples of internal kind of team members that were maybe doing kind of integrations or working on the back end part of the system that were really interested in conversation or really had some experience, you know, doing an NLP project or something like that, and really wanted to have the opportunity to work on the conversational interface and have the opportunity to expand their skill sets. And so that's probably one of the most common things that we've seen, one of the most common ways to grow a team, or at least an initial team, in particular when you're kind of at the experimental stage and building your first version of a conversational experience. And so that's an important one to consider as well. And then also there's the possibility, depending on the stage of the company, of course, of acquiring a team. There are many different, you know, chatbots out there. There are thousands of chatbots out there, and they're builders who have built them. And not all those chatbots have been hugely successful. So,
well, not all startups are hugely successful, so that's not a surprise. You know, that's good.
Exactly. So there's an opportunity there maybe to, you know, partner or acquire some of those teams. And so there's a part in the book where we talk about that as well as an opportunity.
Interesting. And as I think about this, I always, as in my old days of programming, you know, we had programmers and testers and all, like, it seems like the people that are the best testers that really understand how to challenge and drive this may be some of the future designers of these solutions in my book.
Yeah. I mean, those are the folks that have worked most closely with conversational data, right? And they're going to have some insight into, you know, how a conversation, how a successful conversation should be designed, what can go wrong. And I think one of the challenges with building these types of systems is anticipating what can go wrong and recovering from the different failures that can take place in with users. And I think someone like that would be well positioned to, you know, take on some of the other tasks that are required for building the experience.
Cool. And what about, so as a last question then, motivation, how to keep the team together, how to keep them motivated? What do you think it takes to keep the team really humming?
Yeah, really important question. Because of the kind of cross-functional nature of the team, because of the fact that I think everyone's expectations, every team member's expectations could be slightly different because this is a relatively new endeavor everywhere. It's important to, I think, have a strategy around that and, you know, understand what the different team members value in the work that they're doing in the organization that they're at. I think it's really dangerous to assume in this case. But what we've observed is a desire for some level of autonomy. I think that is linked to the nature of the work that's going on here. It's very creative. It's very innovative. There's a lot of kind of design, but at the same time, it's also, you know, analytical. I think most of the roles that we outline in the book have some degree of experimentation or discovery involved. So I think protecting that autonomy and allowing the team members to experiment and fail and kind of refine their hypotheses and kind of iterate, that's a really important component. Making professional development available to the team members. Again, there may be folks coming in from a completely different industry that have never built a bot before, never worked in a software company before. So, you know, kind of upskilling and allowing folks to learn more and more about, you know, what this product is and who the customers are and how the software development process works more generally, I think is important. And frankly, I think a lot of the team members will inspire each other and they want to learn, you know, more about what the other team members know. And so making available to them the opportunity to, you know, take a linguistics class or, you know, take an intro to data science class or a design class, right? I think all of those things, making those opportunities available to the team can be really important.
Wow. So it's a different world. There's new stuff coming down the pike. Conversational AI is getting hot. So Jason Brenner, thanks for taking the time to chat with us. I'm looking forward to getting feedback from lots of folks who are looking at this ebook and learning how to build a successful conversational AI team. Well, I think we've talked about the challenges that they're faced with, the new market that's emerging here. So it's going to be quite an interesting ride. So thanks for being with us today.
Thanks a lot, John.
Thanks for listening. If you like what we're doing, we'd appreciate your telling other people about the show. Better yet, give us a 5-star rating on iTunes or write a review. Doing so will really help ensure that more people can find us. And if you haven't already, please subscribe to the Impact Podcast on iTunes, SoundCloud, or wherever you go to find your podcasts.